The Visit of the Wise Men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy.
Okay. So, we're talking about the wise people, the Magi, today. And we're talking about the gifts that they bring. So, if you have been to a baby shower in the past 10 years, you know that things have probably changed a lot from the time that maybe if you have a child that's over 10 years old in terms of the types of presents that are given. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you see these presents at a baby shower and you're like, "What is that? A wipe warmer? You're supposed to plug it in so that the babies have warm wipes for their bottoms? Clayton didn't even have that. We had to wipe you with cold wipes." Sorry, it's probably embarrassing to talk about. And then I have friends who are attorneys and engineers, and they came to our house with their baby this year, and the contraption that they brought to put the baby into sleep was truly remarkable. I forgot the name of it, but it was controlled by an app on the phone, and it could, like, sense the baby's breathing, and it was supposed to, like, gently rock it and move it whenever the baby needed, but it didn't work. Which secretly I was like, but there's lots of contraptions and gadgets to bring to a new baby. But I have to say, I have never, ever, ever been to a baby shower where someone brings frankincense or myrrh. Maybe I've been to baby showers where people bring gold in the form of Target gift cards or cash. But I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about these gifts and what they mean, and then talk a little bit about the gifts that God gives to us. And then, whoops, just to go back there, this is a painting called The Adoration of the Magi, and I don't speak Italian, but Gentile di Fabriano, and I chose that one. Guess why I chose it, anybody? Because there's a dog in it, and I've been kind of thinking about that this year with those white dogs. Okay, so gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is in the middle, frankincense is on the top, and myrrh on the bottom. So the first one that we're talking about is frankincense. And I thought this was really fascinating. I've never done this in my years of preaching, like looked into how frankincense is harvested. And if you want to start Googling that, it will be a rabbit trail that will keep you occupied for a long time. I know this from personal experience. So basically, they make these cuts in the tree, and then this kind of liquidy, milky substance comes out, and then they dry it and sort it into different like these resin beads. And then you can turn those back into oil. So when I thought of frankincense, I always thought that that it was given in the form of like a plant or something. But after doing this research, I don't think so. I think they probably gave it as those resin things. Don't you think it'd be easier to like pack up and bring than something that's a plant or something that's oil? So each of these gifts we've assigned over the years of church history as having some sort of symbolic value. So the frankincense symbolizes royalty in the old and priestliness for frankincense. So in the Old Testament, there's lots of talk about burning frankincense to make a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. And we talked about that a little bit when we were talking about the sacrificial system. But this frankincense is meant to symbolize that Jesus is our high priest. Okay, the second one is myrrh. And I didn't do as many pictures of myrrh because when I was reading about it, I was like an hour went by reading about frankincense harvesting. So I had to kind of get to it. But myrrh is essentially the same thing. It's a bitter herb that they used. And did you notice? Don't be upset, Cheryl. I'm going to go all the way back here. Just hang on. It's going to take a second. It's way back. You could have found it quicker, I'm sure. Here. Myrrh is mine. It's bitter perfume. Breathes of life and gathering doom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone comb too. When you read this, were you like, that's a little intense for a Christmas carol? So myrrh is a burial spice. And so Christians now, take myrrh to mean that when the Magi brought this gift, that they were foreshadowing, that it's the literary device of foreshadowing. So they were kind of foreshadowing that this gift would be needed for Jesus at his death. I hope that that's a symbolism that we've ascribed later as a parent and a auntie and a person. Like, can you imagine if that symbol meant that at the time when you were receiving it? Like that somebody gave you this gift that was foreshadowing your child's demise? I can't imagine that. And I can't imagine that that was how it was received at the time. I have to think that at the time it was received as an herb that brings healing and a spice that was used for a variety of perfumes and other things, that it wasn't like, here's a baby gift. But in retrospect and in church history, we have taken that to mean that this was a spice that was used for that purpose, and it's supposed to remind us of that at the gift giving. Okay, so what did Mary and Joseph do with these gifts when they got them? So the answer is nobody knows, but here is a theory and a thought. So I want you to take a look at your text, if you would. Okay. So verse 7, it says, "Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star appeared." So King Herod, is he a good king or not so great? Thumbs down, not a good king. He's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. When we hear Herod's name, we should think, dun, dun, dun. So Herod called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search, and when you find him, bring me word so that I may go and send him homage." But he doesn't want to go there to pay him homage. Of course, he wants to go there to harm him. So if you keep reading through Matthew chapter 2, you find out that Mary and Joseph take off. They leave. They flee. They get out of town because they've been warned not to go back. So one of the things that I read this week, again, never read this in all my years of studying this text, is that what if Mary and Joseph used at least some of these gifts to finance their trip? Like they used some of the gold, perhaps, to spend it to get out of town and save Jesus' life, which is a very, very reasonable theory, because Mary and Joseph, were they rich or poor? poor, right? So these gifts that they were given were important to them, and they were useful, and they may have used them right away. So a lot of times when we get to this point in a service, in an epiphany service, and we talk about the gifts, a lot of times, myself included, we'll talk about, like, well, what are the gifts that we have to give to God? And I thought about doing that because it's an important question. But this year, I wanted us to flip that around and to think about what are the gifts that God is giving to us and bringing to us in 2020. And I think sometimes for some people, maybe most people, I don't know, sometimes it is hard for us to receive gifts from people. We feel much more comfortable giving. We feel much more comfortable doing. We feel much more comfortable pouring ourselves out. But then when somebody gives to us, especially if we feel like we didn't have anything to give back to them, or we weren't expecting it, or it was a surprise gift, then we maybe feel like, whew, that's uncomfortable or hard. But I want us to think about going into 2020 from a place of expecting to receive from God, and wondering what that might mean, and wondering what those gifts that we receive from God maybe would be. So we're going to do our offering and our prayer of dedication, and then when we come to our communion moment, I'll explain this again, but I want to explain it now so because it goes with what I was talking about. We're going to take our communion, and then we're going to think about something that we want to leave behind from 2020, or maybe it's not something that we want to leave behind, but we had to leave it behind, something that is that was gone from 2019, not 2020, something from 2019, and then you'll take a glass bead and carefully put it in the water. I say carefully because there's flames, so you have to put it to the side of the flames, and then you'll pick up a star. And that star will be a gift to you. And I want to explain it again because I do this every year in churches, and people always think that the stars are homework. They're not homework. They are a gift. That's why they're called star gift. So, for example, I'm going to take one out of the mix. Let's say I lifted it up and I got helpfulness. That doesn't mean your homework is to be more helpful in 2020. It means helpfulness has been given to you as a gift in 2020, and so your job is to find out how, find out where, find out maybe somebody will help you in ways that you weren't expecting. Maybe you will see others helping one another, and it will be a blessing to you, but that would be your gift. So I'm taking that one out. Nobody gets helpfulness this year, but they're not homework, so remember that. They're your gift. So when it comes to communion time, you come up, take your communion, grab a star gift, and let go of something for the year. Okay? All right, so as we think about these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, let us also think about the gifts that God is giving to us this year in 2020. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. Amen.